Welcome to the Crossroads of Liberty.
Today we'll be talking about stuff like Vietnam and how we've been lied to military conflicts throughout the entire world and our history.
All right. This is not quite my level of expertise. I know a tad bit, but if any of y'all have the knowledge, you are free to step up whenever you like. I know the Gulf of Tonkin was some poopy, but other than that, I really don't have too much of a grasp on a lot of the lies that have led us into wars. I know that they had like three fake ships in the Gulf, like three ghost ships, I think people have referred to them as, and those ships were basically used to be like, look, there's ships around here, so they attacked us when it was just a wee bit of bad weather.
Mm-hmm. That was during Vietnam, just so everyone knows. you have to remember that we haven't had a single, like, actual declaration of war since World War II.
So they're all illegal and unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm. What was the lie for Korea? What, we have to fight communism or something?
We were dragged into Korea because of a UN agreement. We were dragged into Vietnam because of the Gulf of Tonkin. We were dragged into Iraq because of a UN agreement again. And from Iraq, we have just kind of not left.
I thought Iraq was because they were throwing babies on the floor and pulling them out of incubators, and then the yellow cake uranium.
That was the first time, okay?
Oh.
So we went to Iraq because of a UN agreement where we did have to defend, what was it, they invaded...
Kuwait?
Kuwait, and then we just kind of stayed because of nukes, quote-unquote, and terrorists that were kind of propped up because we...
What do you mean? Like if we keep bombing people, they'll get mad at us? No, they're just terrorists.
You mean if we give arms and ammunition to a rebel group in a country, once they take over the country, they may eventually get upset with us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty wacky. I don't know what could go wrong. I mean, we've only been doing it since, at least as long as we know, since Cuba. But, whatever.
Not that this is anything new. See, lying about the U.S. Maine, or...
Oh, yeah.
Wars of expansion, where we gave Indian tribes rifles and ammunition to go and fight each other, and then went and fought them when they were on quote unquote our territory.
Yeah. So it's almost like every war is based on lies, just about. I mean, like even World War II, that was easily preventable, and according to some historians, FDR could have easily just move the ships and not had anything of that magnitude happen.
I mean, technically we didn't know Japan was going to attack, but we also have had several Pacific bases instead of keeping our entire Pacific fleet just asking somebody to attack us at Pearl Harbor.
Yep. You have anything to add, Lucas?
This is not, it's not my area of expertise either, but yeah, not a fan of illegal wars.
I don't like the legal ones either.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
I don't want to go die for an oil company.
What about a bank?
I don't want to die for anyone except myself and my brothers.
Oh, damn.
What?
Deep.
Nothing. I'm playing Red Dead Redemption, and I just jumped off a giant cliff with my horse, and I thought it was dead, but I'm all good.
How did you survive? Did your horse die?
No, we're both okay. I mean, we're not okay. Neither one of us seem very alive, but we're not dead, so we'll be fine.
Sounds good. Well, speaking of what is it? 1890 something, right?
Yeah.
What about the Spanish American War? Wasn't that all based on lies too?
The USS Maine, yeah.
Yeah.
The USS Maine exploded because of a malfunction in the boiler room, and we were just like, look, the Spain blew it up. There's a really famous painting of a Spanish ship firing upon the Maine, and it's exploding, and they put really detail into this painting, which then went to all the newspapers, that you could see sailors flying through the explosion and everything. They just went deep to just fly.
Wow.
No one expects the Spanish Inquisition! they just, like, Monty Python cast just, like, appears on the USS Maine. I'm just...
World War One wasn't that based on lies, too? Because apparently,
I know our involvement was
really that it wasn't a medical ship, and it was actually like transporting troops, and then
claimed the Lusitania was a transport ship, like a civilian cruise liner that was then blown up by American or German subs. Which is accurate, but we also said there was no weaponry. They had no reason to blow it up, which is inaccurate. We were kind of shipping weapons and supplies to England at the time.
Both sides, actually.
But the Lusitania was going to England.
Yeah.
And I think I saw something that the Zimmerman Telegraph may have been fabricated.
Yeah, there's a lot of evidence to support that.
There's so many USS issues. I mean,
maybe we just shouldn't have ships.
We got the USS Liberty.
You know, of all of the times where we lie about a boat getting blown up and go to war, the one time somebody actually does blow up our boat, we ignore it entirely.
Huh?
Because it was a conspiracy.
Yeah. Went right over my head, just like those.
There's actually a book on Amazon I want to check out. I think it's called, like, Blood in the Water or something. Scott Horton recommended it, and it's actually saying that, like, America and Israel actually worked together to blow up the USS Liberty, and we did know about it.
I mean, that would make sense considering they were waving American flags, giving all the signals, were trying to have radio communication for 2 hours, saying we're Americans, and not Egyptians. And,
You said that with some contempt, huh?
Yeah.
Not Egyptians.
Ew,
because that was their rationale, that they thought they're an Egyptian ship, even though they were decked out with U.S. flags.
Yeah, so just scorch it.
That was their excuse. They thought that we were an Egyptian ship.
Yep. I mean, I guess, you know, I guess the flags look similar.
Yeah. All right, similar.
Whatever. You know, 68 Americans dead? No problem. You know, they did it, so it's okay.
That's a low number. That's never sent troops to our aid ever and has goaded us into multiple wars while their president laughs about it.
They're our greatest ally.
How many billions do we send to them?
I think it's like 12 a year or something like that.
Oh yeah, didn't they still get their
They asked for double. They said that they were owed double, even though we don't have money for our kind. We're $25 trillion in debt, and they have no debt, free healthcare, and free college, all paid for by off the backs of our taxpayers.
Yep, and that's only the lowball number for the debt, because I've heard that the debt could be up to like 100 trillion. That's based
well
on
that's
debt
that's
we
with
owe,
unfunded yeah that's yeah. That's with unfunded liabilities like Medicare, Medicaid, and pensions and stuff like that. But the immediate debt that we owe to like bankers, other countries and stuff like that is is 25, but total, like what the government owes in the future to American citizens that they don't care about, yeah, it's like well over 100 trillion. Mm-hmm. But I mean, who cares, as long as we give money to a ethno state with a giant wall that bombs brown citizens. Oh, it sounds like a Republican dream. I guess I understand why they think they're our greatest ally. They really have a lot in common.
You know what? Maybe World War Z wasn't a bad idea. Maybe it should have just happened, but only over there.
I mean, I'm just happy how well received that joke was.
Yeah. Oh, God, I think that made my day. I think you got rid of my hangover. Yeah,
that was a good one.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I've thought about it before. I also saw another thing. It's obviously like the polar opposite, but I saw one thing and it was like, Wakanda is MAGA country.
Oh.
it was like, they have a wall, they're an ethno state, they're isolationist. It was like all the things that MAGATARs claim to support, and it was Wakanda.
They have a great economy. The greatest economy in the world. Ugh, fucking hell.
Well, wow. Wait, Wakanda doesn't bomb brown people. Why would any Republican...
Yeah, like, yeah, they bomb others.
I mean, we don't really know who they bomb. If they're truly non-interventionist, or rather isolationist, they probably don't bomb anyone, because... I don't know that non-interventionists would bomb anyone either, but that's one thing in the... This is really going off the rails from war. All but
right, sure, let's go talk about fictional politics for a second. Technically.
Well, I wasn't going to talk about fictional ones. I was just going to say that one thing that's been popping up in the political climate a lot that's really irritating, especially when people talk about someone like Ron Paul, is when they combine or they don't acknowledge the difference between non-interventionist and isolationist. Like, people call Ron Paul a non-interventionist, and then you have someone like Lindsey Graham saying that there's a problem with Obama's libertarian non-interventionist policy, as he put it.
Wait,
man's disgusting. Yeah, you don't remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, look it up real quick. Look up like a Lindsey Graham Obama libertarian foreign policy. It's absolute insanity. Oh, my horse went down again.
Well, you know, I mean, leave it to others or to status to confuse words and then get mad that people correct them and then call them, not patriots or unpatriotic, and then, you know, threaten to throw them in jail for having a certain gun, and then, take their money and all this other shit. But whatever. Yeah, Lindsey Graham.
I'm as American as apple pie.
Apple pie.
Apple pie is German.
Yeah.
Mein Leben ist ein apple pie.
I can't find where he called him a libertarian, but apparently, as of last week, Lindsey Graham shut down Trump's call for Obama to testify on the origins of the Russian bull.
What? You want to say it one more time? Your mic was cutting out.
Oh, sorry. So recently, Trump has just mounted like a massive investigation into Obama and everything he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked Graham to call him, or to call Obama to testify about the beginnings of the Russian probe. And Graham said no.
Oh, okay.
I just found his tweet. It's a great tweet. The Obama libertarian foreign policy does not make America safe. If ignoring radical Islam made America safe, there would not have been a 9/11.
What?
That's proven because we funded radical Islam and not ignored it. which then led to them.
Well, there's two things. I've told a couple people this. There's many ideas out there. You got Israel, you got Iraq, you got Saudi Arabia, you got America. There's many people that have been blamed for 9/11. I stick to the two main ones. I stick to it was either all America, like Bush was like, we need to steal these people's civil rights, and we're going to do it by running planes into towers. Or since like nine of the however many pilots there were, or nine of however many hijackers there were all from Saudi Arabia, I think it also could have been Saudi Arabia. Either way, it is America's fault. Because why?
Yeah. Also, let's not ignore the fact that like a week before, all of the pilots had been like arrested, a couple of them for trying to go to flight school, but saying they don't need to learn how to take off or land, just how to fly a plane. And like they all admitted exactly why, and then were released by the FBI, which kind of interests me.
Yep. I stick to the two that it was like it was either America or Saudi Arabia. It could have been other things. I mean, Israel could have colluded with us. Iran could have colluded with us. There's options, but I mostly see it was either America did it to ourselves or Saudi Arabia was just pissed. And either way, it's our fault, because with the one case you have, it was American government who planned it, in which case obviously it's the American government's fault. Or if it was Saudi Arabia, you have America screwing with the Middle East since the 50s, after World War II, where we cut up the Middle East, said, hey, you know two groups that don't get along all that well?
Let's put them
Jews and Muslims. Let's cut up. The Middle East has thousands of different tribes and communities that all work together great. They're all separated. Everything's hunky-dory. There's Iranian girls that look like modern American girls going to college. We're just going to draw a bunch of lines in the Middle East and make our own countries. And then let's take a Jewish state and just jam it right in the middle. I'm sure it's going to go great. Spoiler, it didn't. It went absolutely terrible and has destroyed the planet. So since we were screwing with them since then, I mean, you have the, I think it was 657, I think there was a coup in Iran.
Yeah.
And then, like, 57, we did it. We overthrew their government. And then, like, 67, they responded and overthrew the dude that we put in. And we didn't like that. But there's a good chance that they were just responding to that. So if we never invaded their country in the first place, there's a pretty solid chance that they wouldn't have just been like, hey, you know what, we're just going to, like, fly planes into these buildings for no reason.
Yeah.
But who knows? I mean, I'm just some wacky libertarian thinking that you shouldn't be cutting up an entire complex geographical region. Who am I?
Wait, what do you mean we shouldn't cut up an entire geographical area? It worked fine in Africa.
Yeah, I mean, that was great, obviously. There's no problems there. There's definitely not a giant movement in South Africa saying, let's murder all white people. That definitely has nothing to do with any of America's intervention. How dare you?
Well, that's in, what, South Africa, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's England's fault.
The home of Elon Musk.
Yeah, but isn't that... That's Britain's fault, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, Europe's not America's fault, but
yeah. I'm not blaming just America here. My argument is that our countries should not just go into random geographical giant continents and slice them up with no understanding of how they work, even if they're already working fine. That was what I had an issue with. Not just America. Many countries have this issue.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What I find interesting is before Israel like was declared as a like an official country, Palestine was full of Christians, Muslims, and Jews, and they got
they all live very similarly.
Yeah, and then you throw in an ethnic state.
Got an echo.
Okay. Yeah, I think Lucas took care of it. So. Then you throw in an ethnostate, and then boom, we have what's happening in Gaza right now. So
there's crazy files still coming out. I think I have the tab saved somewhere, but I actually found one declassified file that was released by some high-ranking generals in the IDF back in 47, and it was talking about some of the things they did. They were like going into Palestinian villages in the middle of the night and rigging up the whole village with dynamite and just blowing it up while everyone was asleep. They would tie Palestinian men together by the wrist and lead them into a giant pit and then shoot all of them in the head and bury them in a mass grave. It was like absolute genocide.
Wait. They would lead all the men into a pit and then shoot them in the head. I wonder where the Jews learned that one.
What was that?
I wonder where the Jews learned that one.
Yeah.
Probably from the Jewish Bolsheviks that killed 100 million Russians.
Well, I mean, we're talking 2 years prior.
That was not what I was referring to at all.
No, we're talking 2 years prior.
Totally going a different route.
Yeah.
No, if they're claiming victim to the same things they're committing, like, I'm understanding. Yes, there was genocide in Germany. But if you can't be like, oh, feel bad for us because Germany committed genocide on us, and then turn around to the exact same thing, like literally word for word, copying it.
Well, I mean,
cops, they saw it work. Stick with Joey's comment.
Yeah.
What were you gonna say?
No, because you said they're complaining about what happened, and then they did the same exact thing, and I said because they saw it worked.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, yes. Yes.
Oh my gosh, check this out.
Look at this cool trick that Adolf taught me.
Look at this cool trick my friend taught me, guys. Come
God,
on.
If only they pulled off his last magic trick, I think we'd all be fine.
What, moving to Argentina?
No. Taking cyanide and shooting himself in the head.
Nah, he went to Argentina.
I mean, but then they'll just fuck up Argentina. Like, I'd rather they just be dead.
I'm fine with the Nazis being dead. I'm saying they weren't.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
What
I'm talking about
saying is
the leaders of Israel should probably just do the Adolf.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, Netanyahu is not a good dude.
Oh yeah, didn't he get charged with like bribery or something?
I doubt anything's going to come of it. Yeah, but he did.
Well,
the Israeli, I think it was like the health minister or something like that, said that he thought COVID-19 was just a plague from God, and then a week later died of COVID-19.
Yeah, he said it. He said it was like a gay thing. He was like, it's God cursing the gays by giving them COVID.
It was God's attempt to, like, rid the world of homosexuality or something like that.
Womp, womp, womp.
And then died a week later.
My group did it again, guys.
I mean, he's just getting tired of it. He was like, oh my god, there were these two towns, Sodom and Gomorrah, full of gays. I threw a fireball at it. And then there were still a bunch more, so I was like, alright, I'll flood the entire earth and kill everyone. And now they're still here? Alright, drop the corona.
Well, I'm safe, so let's not be doing its job. God really isn't good at killing off humanity.
He's very good at it. What are you talking about?
No.
Uh-oh.
What?
My horse again.
Shut the Put it down, please.
There's too many clips, bro.
Just be PETA for once. Please, just put it down. God.
Wait, okay, it's back.
It's back.
Alright. We're in the middle of like a giant rock side, but we might be good. Alright, back on the grass. Oh, no. Okay. Oh, no, I hit a tree. Wait. It's still alive, though. It's still
more
alive.
Entertaining than the
God, I wish I was watching this right now.
I'm on board. All right. No, guys, all I have to do is give it a carrot. Like, calm down. It'll be fine. Yeah. Just give it a carrot. See, it's stamina? It's yeah, it's all good. It's stamina's back up. Self-defined. I just got to avoid the giant cliffs that just drop off the side into the middle of nowhere. Oh no! Wait, we're good.
You're not having a good time.
No.
You would not survive back then, James.
Yes, I would. How dare you? I would have done great.
So, speaking of horses, when do you think Governor Murphy's going to open up our state?
Honestly, I don't think he can keep this up for too much longer.
No.
I mean, there's a lot of people that just, like, they're just really done with it. I mean, like, yeah, there's some places like the gym that reopened and then got fined right after. But, like, I know stores. I had some people tell me there's two stores by me. I'm not gonna name them, obviously, but there's two stores by me where when you go in, not a single employee nor customer is wearing a mask and no one says anything. Like, I don't know if people are necessarily gonna one day just wake up and be like, I'm not going to listen to this anymore, and everyone's just going to, like, just disregard it, or if there's going to be a literal rebellion that comes out with more, I don't know, if, like basically, I don't know if it's going to be more protests that are going to happen until the law's removed, or if everyone's just going to start to disregard the law. Because there's also another state, I don't remember which one it was, but the beaches weren't even opened yet, and
California.
Yeah, where a bunch of people were just like, eh, we're just going to go to the beach. We don't really care if it's okay or not. And then they did.
And they tried to arrest the one woman, and then all the rest of the protesters just stormed the beach, and the cops just had to relinquish themselves.
So. There was another one even more recently than that, where it was just a bunch of people just, it was, no one was like, it wasn't really a protest or anything, because that woman was protesting. It was literally just a bunch of people that decided, hey, I'm just going to go to the beach today. And that was the end of it.
I think it was one of the Carolinas, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it could have been. I really don't remember which one it was, so I'm not going to act like I know. But
yeah.
That was definitely one of the crazier ones that I saw, where it was like, it wasn't a protest. It wasn't like some patriots wearing a waving a don't tread on me flag with a MAGA thin blue line face mask. it wasn't anything like that. It was just nothing but just random people being like, hey, we're gonna go to the beach today.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think
I told the story about when I was working, the guy with the don't tread on me face mask told me about people who weren't wearing a face mask and I should kick them out of the store.
You gotta fix your mic, bro. I never know what you're saying.
No, it's his internet connection.
Okay. Well, whatever it is.
Yeah, you're gonna have to restart your router after this. Yeah, it's interesting to see those kind of people that have all that stuff, or you know, that put off the appearance that they're all for liberty, and then they're not.
Well, there's one kid that's getting a lot. He just kind of exploded onto the scene, and he's getting a lot of attention. I think he's called the Young Conservative or the Young Patriot or something.
Mm-mm.
And he's this like 14-year-old Trumper kid, and he's debating like Politigram commies and AnCaps, and he's just like getting kind of wrecked.
Yeah. Oh no.
Not, I know it's not surprising, but it's just crazy how there's all these people that are just popping into the movement, claiming to be all liberty type.
Well, I mean, that's how Republicans get elected.
Yeah.
I mean, that's also how Democrats get elected, but for different reasons. So they just have their own version of liberty, and it's. Both of them suck. They're evolving just backwards.
Yeah. And then he has a don't tread on me flag and an American flag behind him. And someone was like, you can't support Trump and be a libertarian. And he was like, yeah, I can. Libertarians never win. And like that was his whole argument on why he can be both. It was like, yeah, the LP doesn't win elections. That doesn't mean that two political ideologies are compatible.
Okay. Whatever floats his boat, I guess. Whoa! God. Sometimes, never mind, I'm not going to finish that scene.
All right, is there any war points that we're going to finish up on since we completely went off the rails and went on, like, Israel and colonialism and...
Well, I mean, they're all related.
Yeah, that is true. I guess we did stay on topic in some sense.
Until Red Dead and then COVID.
Let me see.
I just shot some Laramies in the face.
Wow.
Nice.
All right, they were like, we're not from these parts, but we're paid to make it inhospitable. And then they tried to shoot me with a revolver, so I blew their heads off with a Springfield rifle.
We need to ban the Springfield rifle now. It causes violence.
Nah, but it did cause a bit of a mess. So maybe we should. It's a bit of a messy gun.
Right. So this is a post that I made two years ago for 2018's Memorial Day. This was the image is that sorry. So then only the dead have seen the end of war, and that was from Plato. And this was just after seeing a Fox News report that the Arlington Cemetery was running out of room for fallen soldiers. And so I said, let us not have to make a second cemetery. Today is not to honor the fallen as heroes, but a day to remember that the state and its politicians, bureaucrats, and elites are to blame for their death. So then peace will never be a fraction of reality until we understand why soldiers die. No one will willingly sacrifice their lives to any other organization aside from the state. So then we should feel pity for these damned souls and remember that they were only humans that fell prey to deceit and lies under the false pretenses of liberty and freedom secured for the next generation. No longer should anyone be subject to such malarkey, such dire consequences. Oh god, it's so fucking hot in here. War is here.
Yeah, you okay?
No, not having a good time speaking tonight. War is fucking hell.
You wanna send it to me and I'll read it?
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. Yeah.
You're good, man.
It's not okay. I'm gonna tell Sean to edit part of that out.
Yeah, he can take out wherever. Just
yeah, I don't wanna. All right,
drop it in the Discord.
Yep. All right.
Let's see if I can zoom.
That's about halfway.
Yeah, I don't need to zoom. So is that good?
What? What
is that good?
That's fine. Yeah.
Sean, resume in three, two. Well, he's going to edit this out, so I'm just trying to give him All right, so this was Joey's writing. He's feeling a tad under the weather tonight. It's a bit warm in his room, but supposedly Arlington Cemetery is running out of room to house fallen soldiers. Let us not have to make a second Arlington. Today is not to honor the fallen as heroes, but a day to remember the state and its politicians and bureaucrats and elites are to blame for their death. Peace will never be a fraction of reality until we understand why soldiers die. No one willingly sacrifices their lives to any organization but the state. We should feel pity for these damned souls and remember they were only humans. Humans that fell prey to deceit and lies under false pretenses of liberty and freedom and security for the next generation. No longer should anyone be subject to such malarkey, such dire consequences. War is indiscriminate to the participants, but it rarely affects the ones that sent the boys off to fight. They do not feel the pain of having their child carted home in a cloth-draped casket. They do not care. They're the creators of war. They thrive for it. Let us all resist the dangerous trend, whether the Middle East, in the Pacific, anywhere but our own borders. We can put an end to war if we realize who causes them or creates conditions for the future of war. Liberty, peace, and prosperity are only without the state. Join us for one last war. One final revolt against these bastards and their ilk. Let us finish them before they finish us.
Amen.
Good job, Joey. That was very well written.
Thanks. I felt like a fucking kindergartner. Good job, Joey.
You get a gold star.
Was it co-written by Joe Biden with the No More Malarkey?
Dude, that was a good phrase for me for like a long while.
I'm tired of all this malarkey.
I think it's just a funny word, honestly.
It does sound funny.
All this malarkey over here, I ain't gonna stand for it, bud.
Yeah, it's a very dated word.
There was this video. I'm no expert on the South, so I'm not gonna act like I am. I've heard people make the argument the war was for many things. I don't know. I'm no Civil War expert. But this was funny. I don't like the Union. So if the South was wrong, I hate the Union and the South. Mm-hmm. Like the Union sucks no matter what. Lincoln, John Wilkes Booth is my hero. I wanted to get a framed poster. Guys. Oh yes, of course.
You can't say that. It's Lincoln. He's awesome, man.
I forgot for a second, dude.
He freed the twaves.
Forgot that aspect for a second. You're right. Lincoln was the greatest president ever.
He beat the Yankees, bro.
I actually had a John Wilkes Booth written on my name tag at work for a while, and no one complained. Everyone laughed at it. But anyway, what I was going to say was it was a funny video where this guy was like, The war wasn't. It was a Southern dude, and he was like talking about people flying the flag for heritage, not hate, or whatever. And he was like, "The war wasn't over just slavery. It was people don't go to war over just one issue." And the interviewer was like, "Can you tell me three things that the war was about other than slavery?" And the guy's like, "Well, I'm not a historian, but it was about tyranny." And he was like, "What is tyranny?" And the guy was like, "Well, it's when someone takes control over your bodily autonomy." And then the interviewer was like, "Oh, so like slavery?" And the dude just had this blank stare on his face, and it was really funny. I really enjoyed it. It was a good time.
The war was clearly fought for slavery. That all the Southern states when they left the Union, they all put in their papers and they all said, because we're afraid of you taking our slaves. So I think the South is in the wrong, but the Union is in the wrong as well, rather than import of slaves. Like, personally, I would have stopped importing more slaves and let it die out naturally, which was Lincoln's original plan.
Well, they tried to do that with the international slave trade. They banned that, like,
yeah, but
50 something years. I might be wrong on that number, but a while before the Civil War started.
Yeah, and only three of the states expressly use slavery as one of the reasons.
I'd also argue that, well, not argue, but support the notion that the war was fought for like state versus federal government. Like state rights, but then that ultimately does funnel back to a state's right to do what, which is slavery.
I do think that America could have been really cool if the federal, not if we kept slavery, but if the federal government really did stay small, like it would be really cool to have, let's say, New York, now something bigger, Texas. Let's say Texas is pretty much Ancapistan, and then California would be like Ancambodia, and we could actually try out these different systems. That'd be pretty cool, but the federal government made it pretty much impossible for that to happen. I think that was the original intent, though. If you look at the original documents, the goal was for all 50 states to borderline be their own country, and then the federal government was supposed to be kind of like the EU.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, I mean, we've seen what the EU can do, so...
Yeah, they're not good, but they're... I think the American federal government has more power than the EU does over, like, Belgium.
No. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It also seems to be a little easier to leave because England was like, cheerio, and then they just dipped. Whereas Texas has been like, we're going to leave. Took them what, 3 years?
Like since Brexit started to when it actually happened.
Yeah, how long has it been? What, 3 years?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah.
I mean, people at Texas has been talking about seceding for like 30 or even more, like 100 years. So
they re-entered to the Union.
I'll still take Brexit over.
Well, because apparently they're saying that there was never any like it was never officially brought into the Union. It was just annexed and then like nothing happened from that. So like it was never declared as a state. Something of that nature.
If you guys had to move to a different country, I always find this interesting when I talk to like libertarians, ANCAPs, minarchists, whatever the hell all you guys are. Obviously, I know what Joey is. I think Zach's an ANCAP. I don't know anyone else. Like where they stand.
And Prim.
Oh yeah, that's right, the McDonald's guy. but so I'm always curious. If you guys had to move to another country, where would you go?
Israel, duh, greatest ally. I'd have to do a bit more research, but like, probably, I kind of want to say Sweden.
Yeah, very white. Good choice.
No, I don't know.
I was gonna say the Netherlands, probably.
Oh damn! So I'm gonna be the only one going with Mexico, huh?
Yeah, I was gonna say Poland.
Okay, yeah. So we're all going for ethno states. I'm gonna hit Mexico though. I'm gonna go kick it with Dan Berman living down in Mexico. He lives in Mexico. It's pretty cool. He's running to be president of the United States of America from Mexico. He's a baller.
Okay.
He's a very cool dude. I recommend our listeners give him a listen. Either look at some of his policies, listen to his he has a podcast called the Titcast or the Taxation is Theft podcast. We just had a really cool event that I'd also recommend anyone here check out, including the other guys in this podcast. I'm sure you guys will find something interesting. But we just put on the first ever Tit Fest or Taxation is Theft Fest once again. And it was
so much interesting when you explained it.
Oh yeah, it was. I know Tit Fest would have been much different than Taxation is Theft Fest. There's no libertarians in a Tit Fest. I'll say that. Well, but it was. It was basically a live streamed event. We plan to do it live in the future, but currently it was a live streamed event where we had speakers on every different topic. We had Adam Kokesh talking about geodesic homes and homesteading. We had Arvind Vora talking about peaceful parenting and unschooling. We had the Grand Poobah from the Church of Cannabis that formed, the crazy looking dude with the circle steampunk looking glasses. We had a trans person who's a libertarian activist come in and talk about why rights are important for everyone. We got Sam Robb to give a bit of the Christian appeal to being anti-government, anti-state. We had all kinds of people. We had some cannabis advocates. like I said, with the Church of Cannabis, we had a dude talking on UFOs and such, and his the way that he framed it was, if aliens landed on the front lawn of the White House, would we charge them for universal health care? Which is kind of an interesting thing to pose to someone who advocates for universal health care. Who pays for it? Who receives it? That kind of thing. Trying to think of who else we had. There were a lot of cool speakers. We had one of the guys who formed Cop Watch, and he speaks of how you can watch police and record them and keep them accountable. There's a guy, I forget his name, but he wrote a book.
Wow.
The title is something along the lines of Shattering the Myth of the Income Tax. And I haven't gotten to the book, but it's in my Amazon cart and I plan on it. But supposedly it basically covers how you don't have to pay the income tax, like how you can make the Supreme Court argument and the constitutional argument that you don't have to pay the income tax. So that's obviously a great book for libertarians. And he was there. There were a lot of great speakers there. And I just think everyone should check it out because there's something in it for everyone. And then since we plan on doing it next year, obviously there's going to be even more times to check it out. So I just want to do that plug real quick. Just drop that in there since it was something I helped finesse.
All right, dude.
I kind of want to hear everybody's logic behind their country.
Mine would be that from what I've heard and from the people I've talked to, it's obviously really easy to obtain a firearm. It's easy to obtain cannabis. The drugs are pretty lax on it. The Mexico also, I believe it was their Supreme Court, just legalized cocaine for like two people because two people brought it to the court and the Supreme Court was like, okay, you guys can have it. But they think that this ruling is just testing the waters to fully legalize recreational cocaine, which is obviously more progress than pretty much any country has ever made. Because even Portugal, all they've done is decriminalize it. And if you're found with it, you can still be forced to go to something like rehab. You can still be fined. Whereas over in down in Mexico, if it's legalized, it's going to be just like cannabis in America. You just walk into ShopRite and grab some coke off the shelf. So I think that's a pretty big step for personal liberty and such that I really support. They're very loose on cannabis. The biggest thing I hear people complain about when it comes to Mexico is the cartels down there and how they like harm people. But the main people that the cartel goes after, if not everyone the cartel goes after, is no one except for enemies of the cartel. Like, they really don't go after civilians much. And even with the decriminalization / legalization, my goodness, that was loud, but the legalization / decriminalization of cannabis across America has really hurt the profit margin of these drug cartels. So a lot of these drug cartels have actually moved away from cannabis and have moved to cocaine, and it's gotten to the point where you can grow cannabis inside of the cartel's territory, obviously not in their front lawn, but if they're like, I own this square, or if they're like, this town is our jurisdiction, and you grow marijuana in it, they don't fault you for it. They won't come after you. They don't care because it doesn't make them enough money. So it's much safer than people give it credit to in certain ways. Obviously, there's dangerous parts. Obviously, there's violent parts. But there's also a lot of places that are very safe. Obviously, the weather is solid. If you want to be gardening, it's going to be warm all year round. So a big thing for me is self-sustainability, growing your own food, having the ability to do so. And it's been tough in Jersey. I mean, I have some stuff that I planted and a lot of it's kind of rough because we keep getting these cold nights that keep hitting. So if I was able to go somewhere where I have the temperature where I could grow my own food and grow my own medicinal plants, I think it'd be really cool. So that's my, the lax laws and minimal taxes would be my main reasons for choosing Mexico as my option. I do think that a lot of Nordic countries like Sweden, Denmark, Netherlands, they do have benefits to them. But they're not socialist. They're definitely not, but they have consistently moved towards some socialist aspects. And ever since they've done that, it's caused them a lot of issues and they've slowly declined. Tom Woods actually has a free ebook you can just request and it gets emailed. The PDF gets emailed to you, called Why Bernie Sanders is Wrong. And they basically go through every level. They basically go through every level of the claims that he makes and why they're inaccurate, from why a country, they're like, oh, this country has socialist healthcare, and that's why they're the happy. I think it's Denmark. They're like, oh, it's the happiest country on earth. And they found that there's many other things that attribute to country's happiness. And they're like, oh, this country's doing great because they're socialist. It's like, no, they were doing great because they were the most free market country on earth until just a couple of years ago, like since the 80s. And then since the 80s, when they started to go more socialist, their economy has been on a steady decline since then. So a lot of their success that socialists claim is riding off of the coattails of when it was a free market. So the country that's closest to a free market, that's still close to America, so I don't have to fly 14 hours to see my family for holidays or whatever, I would have to go Mexico.
Okay.
Sorry, that was so long-winded.
No, it's fine.
Yeah. Solid.
Well, riding off of the little bit that you said about like the Nordic countries and whatnot, yeah, they just because they have slightly freer markets than the U.S. At least they rank a lot higher than the U.S. in terms of free markets. A majority of the quote unquote free healthcare and stuff are actually funded like through the private sector, at least in like the Netherlands and Sweden and whatnot. So I would think that'd be pretty cool. I mean, obviously the 60-70% tax rate is not cool.
But yeah, it's pretty high. The one thing I'll give Netherlands, the one thing I'll give Netherlands is obviously completely legalized prostitution is, I think, a good bet. I don't necessarily think that like sex work should be promoted. I think that there's probably better things that are better for individuals, better for society. If you think society is a thing, shout out to Stirner Gang. But basically I don't think it's something that should be promoted, but I also know that since it is the oldest profession, you're not going to stop it with any laws. So having some level of free market regulation where everyone involved gets tested, there's protection, so no one like can just rob these women. There's so many things in place that I think is much better than the system we have here. So that would be the one area where I think it's really beneficial. And then the other thing that's great is the coffee shops where you can just buy a bowl of cannabis, smoke it, and then leave. You can buy magic mushrooms in bookstores. I know a guy who did both of those things when he was over there. I think those are really great, and I think they could have a lot of positive effects on society. So those would be the two things that I would support the most about Netherlands in particular.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't do drugs, but yes.
You should.
Okay. Maybe sometime soon then.
I never have. I'm just saying that from what I've heard from other people, you should.
I should do drugs? Okay.
Well, certain ones. Mostly psychedelics. Anything that comes straight out of the ground and natural. I'd only really recommend cannabis and magic mushrooms. Obviously I wouldn't recommend buying them or doing them in America because it's, unless you're in a state where it's legal, because you know, we have the highest respect for the law, at the crossroads of liberty. That's our first tenet is, Yeah.
Respect the police.
Yeah, ideas written on a piece of paper by bureaucrats in DC is the highest moral authority. That's our first rule. So we really like to stick to that. So don't do it unless it's legal. But I don't have any personal experience with psychedelic mushrooms or LSD, but I'm very good friends with a lot of people who have. I'm not against it. I just haven't.
Wait, why are you friends with druggies, bro? Like, the law says you can't have those things. Like,
yeah, like,
well, I'm not doing them, but
report them.
No, because they're my personal Joe Rogans, and they're really cool. So, I'll keep my personal Joe Rogans and and leave it at that. But
if there's anything more American than jailing druggies, it's exploiting them.
If there's anything more American than apple pie, it's Joe Rogan.
I would say druggies, but yeah, that too.
But I would say that I would never recommend any hard drugs, cocaine, meth, heroin. I wouldn't recommend any of those, but from the research I've done, and I recommend everyone does their own research. I think everyone should always do their own research. Never listen to what we say just because we said it. Google it. Maybe DuckDuckGo it. I think that we need to get Google it out of our lexicon, and we should replace it with DuckDuckGo it or Vivaldi it or some of the other search engines that have a bit more of a focus on not censoring and not saving data and not tracking and all that fun stuff. Shout out to Vivaldi and DuckDuckGo. They're pretty fire. There's actually currently an app for DuckDuckGo. So you don't have to have it as your search engine in Safari. It's an independent app. I recommend, but from my research, there is no known physical or mental damage from really any psychedelics, LSD, mushrooms, cannabis, DMT. If you do them all day, every single day, you can get stuck in what some people call a permatrip. But if you use them in any level of moderation, there's in all the studies they've done, and they've done studies for decades now, and there's been people experimenting with these for thousands of years, and there's really no to very minimum negative side effects on body and mind. So they can open up your mind and give you new viewpoints. They can help you see things in a different way. There's a lot of science backing that LSD and mushrooms are there's people that do them once and they have brutal anxiety beforehand. They do it once and they never have anxiety for the rest of their life. Same thing with depression. So there's a lot of good that can come from them. But like I said, watch out for laws and also do your research. But that's my take. We can get back to countries now. I'll be quiet.
Really quick, I remember writing a paper back in like sophomore year of college, and about psychotropics and that they were testing I believe it was LSD to treat PTSD, and so that was really interesting. And I believe it was in the Netherlands or Sweden or one of those countries, and apparently it had pretty good effects, so pretty good results. So hopefully that becomes a trend.
Another a website, if anyone wants it, I actually have two websites. There is, I'm gonna find the second one. I mean, someone can keep talking while I find these, but I'll find both. They're pretty cool. People can
guess. In the meantime, does someone want to talk about your country?
I don't know. like I said, I'd have to do more research. Never really thought about it.
That's not good.
I'm a very devout Catholic person.
So Rome.
And so is the country of Poland. as seen in The Legal King of Poland, as of November 2016, is Jesus Christ. And, you know, it's a very religious country, and that is just kind of the atmosphere I would very much enjoy living in. I had a priest who was from Poland, and, like, fresh off the boat from Poland for about a year and a half, and I ended up befriending him very well because I have family from the area of Poland where he is from.
Mm-hmm.
And he always told me about how much he loved the Polish climate much more than the American climate. The people of Poland and everything about Poland was just so much better to him than America. I figured if I was going to live anywhere but America, it'd be cool.
So, mentioned any of that in my paper. I just remember reading it. Okay. No, I was off topic. Sorry. All right, so Poland. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Anyone else? I don't even know how many people are on this episode. Did we get through everyone? There's only four?
Lucas doesn't know. Yeah. Lucas is unsure why he wants to go to Sweden.
That's because PewDiePie's from there, and in their capital, it's optional to go topless, and during, they have like a 4-hour lunch break in the middle of their workday, kind of like they do in Mexico. And during that lunch break, all the women just walk topless through the streets. So
Lucas is a fiend, bro.
Yeah, so those are his reasons. He doesn't know them, but those are his reasons. PewDiePie and everyone's topless.
I literally did not know it was all about PewDiePie until you just said so.
Are you tall?
Am I tall?
Yeah, how tall are you?
Like 5'9"-ish.
Yeah, I'm close. I'm like 5'7", 5'8". All right, so it might not. Actually, it'll probably go good for you because a lot of the women over there are tall. So you're right at your eye level. Since they're so tall during topless time, you'll probably be pretty good. You can just look straight. You don't have to look down.
Nice.
Yeah. So I found my sites. We can close on this if everyone wants. I'm down for whatever. You guys want to talk for 3 more hours? I'll talk for 3 more hours. I don't care. But the one is called thethirdwave.co, and they basically cover a very wide array of psychedelics. They have 2CB, 4-ACO-DMT, 5-MeO-DMT, ayahuasca, cannabis, DMT, ibogaine, cambo, ketamine, LSD, MDMA, mescaline, peyote, psilocybin mushrooms, and San Pedro. And they go through the studies on the pros, the cons, possible side effects, ways you can acquire them, if it's something you can make in your house or not, how to take it, dosage, all that. All the information you'd ever need has it. They have courses on microdosing, which is the thing. It's a free guide. That's the thing a lot of people are having a lot of benefits with. A lot of the people that are using LSD to cure anxiety, depression, PTSD, they never trip. They never do what you see in the movies where everything's all wavy and like the blades of grass start speaking to them. They never do that. It's simply a slightly elevated level of consciousness, and it's been shown to cure anxiety, depression, PTSD. It's helping people with trauma, like if they had to deal with like sexual assault or something. It's having a lot of benefits. And then the other one, this is an even more extensive list. It's called psychonautwiki.org, and it is basically, it's not just psychedelics. They cover things that work with visual effects, like acuity enhancement, autonomous entities, color enhancement, color shifting, drifting, environmental cubism, external hallucinations, geometry, blah, 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 cognitive effects, miscellaneous effects, responsible drug use. Now they have a giant list of psychedelics. They have a giant list of dissociatives, a giant list of deliriants. I don't know why you'd want to do any of those. Cannabinoids, stimulants, depressants, nootropics. If you want to get into increasing what your brain is able to do, nootropics are pretty much the best. I mean, this is like full of psychotropics, but all that, like the nootropics is the things that really accelerate what your brain's able to do. Botany and mycology, which covers cannabis and nicotine and all the different effects of it. Psilocybe and Mexicana. Salvia divinorum, which is salvia, as you'd guess. Pharmacology, neuroscience, tutorials, shows you how to make these things. Ayahuasca brew, changa recipe, acid-based DMT extraction. Aeronautics teaches you how to have, like, how to create lucid dreaming and stuff. It's a really all-around list. It shows you, gives you substances, effects, replications, experiences, tutorials. This is like if you want to experiment in the deep corners of your mind, the Psychonaut Wiki is where you want to go. If you want to learn about just psychedelics, thethirdwave.co is where you want to go. But yeah, I just thought I would drop those in case anyone's interested, because I think that we should cover all aspects of society and freedom and liberty and all that kind of stuff. And liberating yourself to the truest level of your mind, I think, is counted in that.
Yeah. Thanks, Alan Wheat.
I don't know who that is, but I'm sure it was funny.
He's a cool guy. Teaches about Zen and higher consciousness and stuff.
So he's like Nick Land?
I don't know.
He was the Dark Enlightenment dude?
No idea.
Yeah, it's imagine the alt-right, but more philosophical and less racist.
Okay.
They basically think the classical Enlightenment was a mistake.
Oh. Okay.
They're a cool group. Capitalism is a living being sent from outer space that will eventually evolve to destroy planet Earth. He's a really cool dude. I recommend you check him out.
Okay, James. I will.
I'm in too many political circles. I hear too many weird things. I know.
Just today, I heard about anti-nihilistic nihilism. So, if you want to know about that, I can talk about that.
Sounds like anarcho-nihilism.
No, it's
no.
Maybe, I don't know. Like, I've never heard of that.
Anarcho-nihilism is basically there was a tweet that someone made that pretty much sums it up. But the one way to describe it is it's a post-left ideology that believes that anarchism is the best way to save the world. It is the best societal organization. But it's nihilistic because they think that the world will end and everyone will die before we're able to make anarchism a reality. So it's basically some dude who's like, anarchy would be the best thing, but it's not going to happen, so I'm just going to give up and whine. And someone, I mean, that's the nihilist part. But there was a tweet. There was a tweet, and it said, don't call yourself an anarcho-nihilist if you believe in anarchy or nihilism. So that's a good sum up. The ideology refutes itself just in the name. So let's hear about anti-nihilist nihilism or whatever.
Right. So
we could probably close after this.
So extreme that it doesn't even value or believe in itself. What starts out then as an okay.
Do you need to send it again?
No. What starts out as a contrarian lack of a position will eventually spirals in my fucking phone screen's cracked to hell too, so it makes it even worse. Spirals into a vicious whirlwind wherein you. A vicious whirlwind wherein you are in a stasis between believing. Okay. The way they worded this too is very strange. Between believing in everything and believing in nothing. And then when you come out. You are totally unable to even comprehend basic English. Right now, I am surrounded by a support. It's a green text that someone made, but basically it's you believe in everything but also nothing at the same time. So basically very similar to that. Yeah. Very similar to your anarcho-nihilism. But you know, like if you ever want something really cool, just be an absurdist. So it's just saying, guys.
Being an anarcho-egoist.
Sorry, you know, I don't want to self-justify rape.
I mean, I was actually talking to an egoist, and he said that that's not okay because supposedly
we talked about in one of the episodes.
Oh, probably. I think it might have been the Lib Renegade one.
Which I believe
just dropped.
Yeah.
Which it would have dropped a long time ago before this one comes out. But anyway, basically, he said that part of living for your ego or something along those lines is not affecting or not preventing someone else from like fueling their own ego. So it's like if you violate someone's ability to fulfill their ego's desires, then you've hurt your own or something along those lines. I had the same issue with egoism where I was like, oh, so you just say, eh, that person's hot and I could use a bonin, so I'm going to go rape them and I want to do it, so I'm going to. I thought that's what it was too. But I've talked to a couple since, and all of them were like, yeah, no, you can't do that. There are like some principles. So I really want to read some Max Stirner. I doubt I'm going to be transitioning to egoism. I'm pretty sure Ancapistan is the way to go, or at least from all the ideologies I've seen and been exposed to so far, and it seems the most consistent and principled and logical and mm-hmm. Nicest and all that fun stuff. It just seems to be the best one out there. But I would like to have a better understanding of egoism. And then I also want to read, Joey, I'm sure you've read some of this, but I would also like to read more Lysander Spooner, because I've heard that people call anarcho-individualism and anarcho-egoism, like, they use them interchangeably, but anarcho-individualism is much older, and it was people among the lines of Benjamin Tucker and Lysander Spooner. Obviously, they're different, but they're both considered anarcho-individualists. Benjamin Tucker's a bit more of the socialist-leaning side, and then Spooner's more the capitalist leaning side, but supposedly he is against wage labor and things like that capitalists don't typically have an issue with. So I would like to read more Lysander Spooner and Benjamin Tucker.
Part of me wants to say that Shane Killian goes over this in one of his YouTube videos, so I might drop that in here if I come across it. Like, I'll probably rewatch it just to make sure that he brings it up. But I know that socialists like to claim that Spooner was a socialist because he was against interest. But if you look at the entire quote that they use, it's clearly against interest caused by the state and all this other stuff. So,
yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely don't think Lysander Spooner was a socialist, but he is more left than straight up anarcho-capitalism. Like, anarcho-individualism is seen as a bit more left than it's in the lib-right quadrant, but it's like a little right of it's a little right of center. So the left, just left of center, would be mutualism, and anarcho-individualism is on the right side of the center. So I'd like to read into it more, because I feel like that's the other ideology I'd go for if I ever abandoned Ancapistan. I'd probably go for anarcho-individualist.
Well, to me, I wouldn't even say Tucker is necessarily like more on the left-leaning side, because he Was he like against like property and all that, or?
Oh no! Tucker was definitely on the left side, but he. But what I'm saying is that if you look at like, I know that Wikipedia, like a lot of people consider it is illegitimate, but for definitions of political ideologies, it tends to. I haven't run into too many issues with it, and anarcho-individualism is one of the only kinds of anarchism I'm not too familiar with. And I wanted to learn more about it. And there's a wide array of anarcho-individualists. I mean, you have Henry David Thoreau, you have Benjamin Tucker, who's one of the furthest left, Ann Innes, I guess you'd call it, anarcho-individualists. Lysander Spooner is to the right of Benjamin Tucker, and Henry David Thoreau is to the right of Lysander Spooner. So there is a wide array in anarcho-individualism. I just want to learn more about the differences, the different schools of thought in it. I'm familiar with some of Spooner's work. I mean, I know his Constitution of No Treason. I'm very familiar with that. But the rest of his stuff, like his stuff on wage labor and interest, and the other things that are more left-leaning opinions are things that I'd like to learn about. Mises Institute actually has a bio of Lysander Spooner, and they acknowledge he has more left-leaning policies than Austrian economists do. Like, they're straight up, like, we consider him in our circle of right anarchists, but he is on the more left side of our spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to learn more about him, because if I ever abandoned anarcho-capitalism, I'd probably go for anarcho-individualism. Speaking of another book, we've been at this for, like, an hour and a half, so we should probably wrap this up soon. But there's one book that seems really interesting. It's called The Not So Wild West. Mm-hmm. And it basically covers I think there's a subtitle to it. Let me see if I pull it up. I'm playing poker in Red Dead Redemption, and everyone's yelling at me. They're like, why are you playing big again? The Not So Wild West. Property rights in the frontier. And in the bio is the growth of government during this century has attracted the attention of many scholars interested in explaining that growth and in proposing ways to limit it. As a result of this attention, the public choice literature has experienced an upsurge in the interest in anarchy and its implications for social organization. The work of Rawls and Nozick, two volumes edited by Gordon Tullock, Explorations in the Theory of Anarchy, and a book by David.
Holy shit. Wow. I haven't heard that name in years.
And a book by David Friedman, The Machinery of Freedom, provide examples. The goals of the literature have verified from pending a conceptual framework for comparing Leviathan and its opposite extreme to presenting a formula for the operation of society in a state of anarchy, but nearly all of this work has one common aspect. It explores the theory of anarchy. The purpose of this paper is to take us from the theoretical world of anarchy to a case study of its application. To accomplish our task, we will first discuss what is meant by anarcho-capitalism and present several hypotheses relating to the nature of social organization. Whoa, is this like the book? this is the book. Okay, I mean, I don't think you guys want me to read this whole thing. I thought that was the bio, but it turns out it's just the book. but it basically explores property rights of the frontier and shows that even though there wasn't a state, people were able to claim property and protect it and all that stuff. So it's basically a real life example of anarcho-capitalism. So that's a book that I want to get it actually mentions, because the actual bio on Amazon, it actually mentions people like Henry David Thoreau and Lysander Spooner. It's like about the way that they lived their lives and protected their property. Because my favorite thing about Lysander Spooner personally is that he made a post office that outcompeted the American post office, the government post office, and then they shut Lysander Spooner's post office down because his was too efficient and they couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
Which I just really like, because it shows the problems of government, where you end up with the government has a monopoly and you can provide a service better than the government can, and they don't allow you to, because since you did a better job, you're taking revenue away from their monopoly. So for anyone saying that anarcho-capitalism will just end in a monopoly, it's a monopoly preventing it, not a monopoly that would arise. A monopoly inherently needs a state. By the definition of a monopoly that was created in the times of kings, where a king would go to a specific producer and say, I give you the singular right to produce this object, and if anyone else makes this, they will receive a punishment. That is the origin of a monopoly. So it inherently needs government. The only monopoly that can form in a market is a natural monopoly, which is practically impossible to sustain. And a natural monopoly is nothing other than someone provides the absolute best service at the absolute cheapest price where they're able to outcompete everyone. Now, if they are...
It would have to be zero.
Exactly.
The best price, which then you're not incurring profits, which means...
There could, in theory, be someone who just offers like a $50,000 service for $10, where they could theoretically close down all the other competitors. But even if the only business open is the best, most competitive business, as long as they're not forcing other people from entering the marketplace and outcompeting them, if they're just naturally the best and people only go to them, that's not really a problem, because no one's saying that you can't go to another service. It's just that everyone goes to this one guy because he's the best. So he has a natural monopoly that everyone consents to. And then if someone can offer a service better, they can enter the marketplace and outcompete him and then take all his business. But until then, a natural monopoly in a free market is pretty great. It's really not all that bad. I mean, obviously, it's great to have competitors, but the goal of competition is to get the highest quality product at the lowest price. And if there's one guy that can offer an exceptionally high quality product at an exceptionally low price, then yeah, only go to that guy.
Yeah. Just last night, I was arguing with one of the people from our group chat, and he brought up a quote-unquote natural monopoly that happened in the 20th century involving a bar, a bar corporation that basically only contract with all the alcohol suppliers and all like the chair suppliers within like their region, and so no one could compete with that bar, and apparently they charge high prices, which then no one liked. And I said, well, did they get subsidy from the government in order to do that? And I'm like, no. And I was like, okay, so why is that a problem? Why is no one being able to compete with being efficient enough to compete with this vertical monopoly, as they called it? Why is that a problem? And they were like, well, because, like, you know, apparently voluntarists and like ANCAPs and stuff, they always say like capitalism is supposed to like bring competition and choice. And I was like, no, that's a result of capitalism, but it's not an inherent feature of it. So it's just normally what happens as a result of people, you know, deciding, oh, like I could provide a better service than this quote-unquote monopoly. So I don't really see why this bar buying all the suppliers and then basically supplying themselves with their own alcohol is a bad thing. Like that doesn't make sense to me, and like I don't see how that's a problem simply because they're the only ones in that area. And I said, well, and then they brought up that someone tried to compete with them, and or hypothetically, if someone was to create a better bar, they could only do it by outsourcing to different suppliers outside of the area, which then would create higher costs for them. I said, okay, and that's what they have to do. But why is it the fault of the corporation that has all these contracts with these local suppliers? So, like, I don't really see the problem. but I guess it was kind of like incoherent, I guess, but I don't know, maybe.
No, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't know. Because to me, like you said, the only way a lasting and horrible, in quotes, horrible monopoly can occur is through government subsidy. So I don't think if they were just being they weren't understanding the complete facts of the situation, or if I wasn't, but
yeah, I mean, you can look at there's been loads of examples where there's actually a great article on Mises.org. I mean, pretty much every article is on there. Great article.
Yeah.
But there was one that really caught my eye. I forget exactly what it was called, but if you look up Mises Institute robber barons, you'll definitely find it.
They probably talked about what Standard Oil and Rockefeller and all that stuff.
No, it was actually about trains. It was about train lines. And there's a guy, I believe his name was James Green, I believe. Mm-hmm. And there were all of the different, like, railroad builders were subsidized by the government, where they would get paid per mile of track. So a lot of them would use garbage steel that they could thin out and spread longer to just make a longer track, and they would make tracks longer than they needed to be, because those are the government incentives, to just make as much track as possible, and you get money for it. So this one guy, I believe his name was James Green, I could be wrong, him and a bunch of friends bought an old broken down railroad and found ways to make super high quality steel really efficiently. And any towns that he went through, he put up grain silos and gave free grain to the farmers as a thanks to letting them go through the town. And there were, like, anytime there was a drought, he would drop off free grain so the farmers could still feed their animals. He actually cut his route to make it as short as possible while using the best steel that would last the longest. There was even a time where there was a giant mountain where there was a valley in the mountain that Lewis and Clark found, and no one had found it since Lewis and Clark did. This guy paid like $1,000 to get a private explorer to go out and try to find it. He found it. He was able to cut 100 miles off of his route by finding this valley and building through it instead of building around the mountain. Mm-hmm. So all this
James Jahill.
Yeah, James Jahill. I really recommend you check out that article. You'll probably like it. But so the guy who made the railroad on his own without government subsidy was able to make the highest quality railroad, charge the cheapest price to use it, and it was the most efficient route, and he still had enough money left over to give out free resources to the towns that he went through. Whereas the government subsidies, they just put Japanese people or Chinese people Chinese people in the caves and blew them up. So if you compare the two, I think one is a bit better than the other.
Yeah, like even if we go back to Rockefeller before he became a, you know, corporatist in the way that we understand them to be, like, you know, going to the government for lobbying and subsidy and whatnot. But even when he started out, it was in defiance of the monopoly laws in New York to create ferry systems. And then he created an illegal ferry system. He started his own railroad. He started his own kerosene company. And then because kerosene was really expensive, and I believe it had something to do with whales or something of that nature, in terms of like burning whale fat and something or other, he decided, okay, let's go with crude oil. And he did that. So that saved the environment. That saved, you know, whales and whatnot. And then he created his oil company, Standard Oil, and people claim that he had a monopoly on it, but he never reached over, I believe it was 38% of the market. So that left, what, 62% of the market for competition. And when the antitrust laws at least for the for that time period, came out, they claimed that he was a monopolist and broke him up. And he was already losing that 38% by that time because of better competition. So I really don't understand where this whole monopolist, you know, mindset is coming, except for those that get government subsidies. Because even with his subsidies, he never recovered. He never recovered that 38%. And I believe the antitrust laws say you can't go over, what, 49%? So even by their own definition, he's not a monopolist. So, like I don't know. Maybe I'm just... I don't know. I guess I'm just a naive free marketeer. But...
Yep, that's how we tend to get painted out. I think that we could probably wrap up there.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. Anyone want to take the outro?
Lucas, you could.
What's up?
You want to do the outro?
Yeah, sure. Why not? All right, guys. Thank you all for listening to this episode. If you like our content, check out our other episodes. This one's probably going to be a longer one. A little bit of derails, but I mean, conversation's good. So that's about it from us. Take care, guys.